It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. Great to have you with us. I'm Dennis O'Hare. So you thought that the work of fact-checkers might slow down after the election? Ah, but no. Jim Tharp is back with us. He is the editor of PolitiFact Georgia, which you can catch in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and on myajc.com. No rest for the weary, Jim. Welcome back.
Good to be here, Dennis.
Let's start with the claim that probably got more attention, especially on social media, than any other. This is the one from Donald Trump, now president-elect, who claimed that he would have won the popular vote were it not for millions of people who voted illegally.
As we all know, Donald Trump is a serial tweeter, and even though he's won the election, he's still questioning certain aspects of it, including this one. Now, he has been able to offer absolutely no proof that this occurred, and studies indicate that voter fraud in person, at least, is extremely rare. There was a study done by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation. It found just 56 cases of non-citizens voting between 2000 and 2011. And indeed, the ability to carry off such a far-reaching conspiracy, one that he proposes here, potentially involving millions of people over the course of several months and without being noticed by election administration officials, many of whom are in states controlled by Republicans, is ridiculous and illogical. We give Trump a pants on fire on this, our lowest rating.
Couple of quick thoughts on that. I talked to Secretary of State Brian Kemp, who supervises elections here in Georgia. He is a Republican, and he said there's no evidence of widespread fraud, but he says it does happen. He pointed to a couple of examples, but nothing like the kinds of numbers that Trump was talking about.
And Trump has made this statement not only about the national vote total, but also about specific states, Virginia, New Hampshire, and California particularly. We've looked at each one of those, and in each of those states, there's no evidence, again, of widespread voter fraud. He's gotten the pants on fire on each of those. You remember the movie Animal House when these guys were put on double secret probation?
Yeah.
He's kind of on like quadruple pants on fire probation, but he doesn't care. He just keeps saying it.
The interesting thing about this, though, is that Republican leaders are trying to walk a tightrope here. Just this past Sunday on Face the Nation, Reince Priebus, about to be chief of staff in the Trump administration, said, well, I don't know if it's not true that there are millions of undocumented immigrants voting. But he said it's possible. When John Dickerson pushed him on it.
Right. Under PolitiFact standards, if you say something like that, you've got to back it up. They cannot back it up. And as a matter of fact, all the evidence points the other way, that there are very few cases of in-person voter fraud. And they should also realize this. Donald Trump won. He won the election.
He probably has bigger things to think about right now.
And in fairness to Republican leaders, a lot of them have told him that, not so gently. Newt Gingrich, I heard him on talk radio the other day, and he said he thinks Donald Trump needs a Twitter executive editor who wakes up with him at 3 in the morning and tells him what to write and not write.
Well, you're a good editor. You know, you could apply.
Good idea.
Let's move to one of the other big stories of the last couple of weeks, certainly one that affects Georgia. Congressman Tom Price, a Republican and chair of the House Budget Committee, appointed to be Secretary of Health and Human Services in the Trump administration. So you and PolitiFact did kind of a review of some of the things that Tom Price has said over the last couple of years. And obviously, a lot of it was about the budget. That's his area of expertise. And it can get pretty wonky. But what were some of the things you found out?
Well, one of the things he said is the Congressional Budget Office, and that's a nonpartisan office in Congress, is expecting a protracted economic malaise for at least the next decade under current policies. Now, that's Price basically complaining about the Obama administration policies. And he looks at a report that's done by the Congressional Budget Office, and he gets some of this right. But what he does is cherry pick his numbers. And here, the CBO actually gave a range that they expect the economy to grow. They projected a low of about 2.1% up to a high of over 3%. Price uses the lower number in this. Again, he's cherry-picking the numbers. We gave him a half-true on this. The statement is partially accurate, but he cherry-picks numbers. He leaves out some important details, the details being that under current conditions at that time, the growth rate might have been much higher than he said it was going to be.
And, of course, it's important to note that he said that back in April of 2016, which was, of course, just as the presidential race was heating up, and it was to the advantage of Republicans to make the economy seem to be as sluggish as possible under President Obama.
That's correct. That was a major talking point of Republicans is, hey, the unemployment rate seems to be low, but the real rate is higher. Of course, certain segments of the economy have improved, but we still have low GDP growth. Our federal debt is still soaring. It's doubled under Obama. So they were making this point continually. And this is just another example of them making that point. And in doing it, he cherry-picks his numbers.
In other words, the number he picked was certainly one of the possible ones, but it could have also been a lot better than he was saying.
Could be much higher. Again, the Congressional Budget Office is nonpartisan. They didn't have a dog in the presidential race, and they gave a range of numbers, some of them very low, some of them much rosier. Price chose to pick the grimmer numbers out of that group.
And a year before that, back in 2015, he was looking at the 2016 budget, and he again made some statements about the state of the economy, this time focusing on deficits.
Yeah, specifically here, he's focusing on federal debt. He said under current conditions, by 2023, the interest payments on the national debt will be $722 billion, larger than the projected defense spending of $696 billion. Now, these are huge numbers we're throwing around here. And again, Bs. These are billions. And Price is right here. You know, one thing that's happened under the Obama administration is the national debt has doubled. I think it was about $8 billion when he took over. I think it's about $19 billion. Now, part of that, a large part of that was things he really didn't have much control over. It's things that started before he got in office. But he has not slowed the growth of the federal debt. Price is accurate on that, and he's accurate on this number. We rate his claim true.
And it's worth pointing out here the difference between spending deficits, which is what you run year to year. You spend more in the government than you take in revenue, versus the national debt, which is money that we owe that we've borrowed.
Right. It's money that our grandkids are going to end up paying back at some point. And the Congressional Budget Office has been very critical of Congress, the president, everybody else on this front. As a matter of fact, they recently issued a report that said in the next decade or so, we really have to get control of this or it's going to start being a huge part of GDP. And that becomes a major issue for everybody. And the only way to get control of it is to cut entitlement programs, which are very popular, or to raise taxes, which is very unpopular. So politicians are caught in a real jam on that, no matter if they have an R or a D by their name. And under some of Donald Trump's program proposals, the debt would grow even faster than it grew under Obama. So it's a major issue here. Again, it's way down in the weeds. It's way over most of our heads, but it's something very important the country faces in coming decades.
It is something that Senator David Perdue has talked about a great deal, one of the Georgians in Congress, and his name is being tossed around as a possible Trump appointee.
Right. A lot of people talk about this, and doing something about it is different. I don't know if you remember under George W. Bush's administrations, one of the things they passed was a vast expanse of Medicare. It was the Part D drug benefit, and that just adds huge amounts of money to the national debt over the long haul. I've heard somebody say it's more than the cost of all wars we've ever fought in the long run. But everybody loves it. The people who got the benefit loved it. Democrats loved it because it expanded the social net. Republicans loved it because it brought people into their ranks. So you have that kind of problem. Programs that are very popular, Social Security, Medicare, and other entitlement programs, it's very difficult to cut these. And if you start expanding other programs and going to wars with various countries, the debt just continues to balloon. And that's what's happened over the last 20 years or so.
Under Republican and Democratic administrations.
Doesn't matter if it's an R or D by their name. The debt is one constant that has continued to grow.
Finally, let's get back to Donald Trump for a moment. And actually, this time we're hearing from his vice president-to-be, Mike Pence, and he was talking again about the election results. And one of the issues that has come up a lot is whether Trump has a mandate. And Democrats are saying, well, look, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by more than 2 million votes. And Republicans reply by saying, look, we won in the Electoral College, we won big there, and we won in a lot of other ways. And this is what Pence was saying in a conversation with Meet the Press moderator Chuck Todd.
To be around Donald Trump, as you know, having known him for a number of years, is to be around a man of boundless energy from literally the day after the election, a historic election where he won 30 out of 50 states, more counties than any candidate on our side since Ronald Reagan. We went right to work.
Yeah, we've looked at the numbers on this pretty carefully, going back to about 1984. And Republicans in 2016 won 2,623 counties. Democrats won 489. So Pence has a point here. Now, Trump receives credit from electoral specialists for expanding the Republican footprint, notably in places that had previously backed Barack Obama. According to one calculation by Time magazine, Trump won 220 counties that had voted for Obama in 2012, while Hillary Clinton took far fewer, 17, only 17, that had gone for Mitt Romney in 2012. There is a caveat you should add here. Some of the counties Hillary Clinton took were much more populous than the counties Donald Trump took.
Winning a county is one thing, but how many people are in those counties?
That's exactly right. And that's why Hillary Clinton is ahead, or one of the reasons she's ahead in the popular vote, where Donald Trump won the Electoral College. I mean, two different things here.
Still, Mike Pence, what he said is true numerically, at least in terms of numbers of counties, right?
That's correct. And we gave him a mostly true on this. Again, it's accurate. You need that bit of context, so it needs an asterisk by it. Trump took far more counties than Hillary Clinton. She took counties with much more population in many cases.
And no matter what the spin from both sides, he still won the electoral vote. She still won the popular vote. There you are.
Yeah, game over.
Jim Tharp is the editor of PolitiFact Georgia, which you can catch in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and on myajc.com. Always a pleasure, Jim. Thanks so much, and we'll see you again soon.
My pleasure, Dennis.